Tonight, we discuss the nomination of Bay and Day. Who will win the veto, and will Christmas come early for either of them? Or have they been naughty? Also, will David use his special power? We talk about all of that and more. But first, welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, everyone, and welcome to But First. Hi, Fatty.
All right, I had to go get the spoiler cellular telephonic device because I didn't have it. So, and when I picked it up, I got a Grindr message. So, anyway.
Oh, nice. My timing was impeccable tonight. Like, right well, on. Like,
well, it was that good breath that you took right before you started. Yeah.
You know.
It was like he was about to go on a ventilator. So... Well, it was probably like most every breath you're trying to take out there in Oakland, right, Mike Lawson, with the fires?
Yeah, exactly. And hey, Fatty, can you just hand me my towel? Just kidding. Ian, remember in the shower?
Oh, right. That was prominent on a couple of episodes because they really went back to it a couple of times in that episode, and then... I watched last night's episode tonight, and they led off with, I believe they led off with a recap of that.
They did.
I would imagine in these shows, there's like these big moments that you know are going to be big, and they're going to be turned into GIFs, and they're going to be memed, and you know, like they will be used. And it sucks that you're in the shower in the background there. Like he's always going to be there, and that's like, this is going to be a big fight, you know, like a momentous moment in Big Brother history, and he's... just standing in the back washing his hair.
What was the wartime cartoon where they just looked over?
Kilroy,
that's it. It was like Ian Kilroy. So.
Well, so okay. We're joined by Fatty and Mike. We're also joined by Moose P. Hello, Moose.
How do you do? How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Oh. How's the bunny and the husband?
The bunny's fine. The husband is watching something, some reality show on TV. But we're fine here.
Love Island, perhaps?
It's entirely possible.
So, are you watching Love Island, Moose?
No, I'm not.
It is so trashy. I can't look away.
That's why his husband's watching it without him right now. You know, it's like, oh, quick.
Is he watching it?
No.
Is Carl watching it?
He's watching some reality show. I couldn't pick up. I just walked through the room and, you know, I don't know.
Were there a lot of people in bathing suits and artificially large breastuses?
I did see some very large breasts.
So. Okay, well, then that's what it is.
Okay.
Lovely. And speaking of really large breasts, we're also joined by Sam in the Hinterlands. Hello, Sam.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
I and my really large breasts are just fine and dandy. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, I thought that would be a complimentary, you know, segue there.
Well, it was a segue.
It was a segue. That's true.
And it was a female-oriented segue. I'll give you that.
Right.
Well, we're happy to have you as the one of the resident note takers this evening. Or no, in general.
What do you mean? One of.
Well, I don't.
Moose takes notes.
Moose
takes notes. Also, that's true.
Well, no, I meant in general because Faye takes notes, Sam takes notes, Moose takes some notes. You know, but Faye is out this evening. He could not be bothered.
Well, neither could Chris.
Well, yeah, right. Neither could Chris.
And we'll give Archer a pass since his mother died.
Yes.
I told him.
The show extends its official condolences to Archer and his family.
I didn't know if it was too soon to make a joke at all, but I went ahead and made a joke. It was not relating to... No, it wasn't relating to
her
death.
Since you just died on Tuesday.
But no, what I said was... let me go back and actually look at it so I can get the wording correct here.
Oh yeah, let's go ahead and make sure that we get the correct wording for that foot to go in the mouth.
You know,
this hole is not deep enough.
Well,
that's what he said.
Well, I wanted to know. Well, you guys
know. Did you get me my
towel? So on Twitter, I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. So he said on Twitter, in case you didn't hear, my mother passed away this afternoon. And he apologized for not putting out a podcast. And I said, I'm really sorry to hear that. Hugs to you and your family. If there's anything you need, let me know. Do you want a bonus point in our butt first contest?
Oh, my God. He did say that. And Archer immediately said, yes.
So was that wrong? Was that an ill-timed? I mean, I wasn't making light of
yes, it was. It was ill-timed. Okay. But he took it the right way.
Yeah. And you know him. So
yeah.
If it was someone that you thought was not going to accept that joke at that time, you wouldn't have made it.
He did say, thank you. Yes. An extra point would make me feel better. So, I thought, you know, maybe I could bring a little levity. I know it's a horrible situation, but everyone likes to laugh, right?
But it really wasn't. She was declining very quickly. And I think Archer, like myself this time last year, you know, it's just comforting to know that everyone can be at peace. So,
well, anyway, Archer, you're missed on this episode and our condolences, for sure. Like Sam said. So. All right. We always do this. So does anyone have anything burning that they want to talk about? I mean, not
California.
California. I'm not talking about California, Mike. Anything, well, you know.
There's a salve for that.
Oh, and medicated. and since we're sending out condolences, we'll send condolences out to TJ. Whose mother also passed away last week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of death right now.
TJ's mom was Tuesday and Archer's was Wednesday.
Well, yeah, condolences to TJ as well. So our thoughts are with all of you. Okay.
Our thoughts are with you.
You just have to call out every little slip of the tongue, don't you?
Flip of the tongue.
Do you want me to kick it off, or Moose, would you like to kick it off?
Oh, go for it.
All right. We are starting with Season 22, Episode 15, and we get a brief recap of the previous week, where the Slick Six have turned on one another, Christmas 1 HOH, and we have learned that Christmas and Tyler have a final two. Day and Bay also have a final two. We get the recap that Christmas, Danny, and David all got special basement powers. And then the line that is used is an unexpected series of events unfolded. And we pick up right at the end of the previous episode where Bay and Day have both been dominated and we just keep going with the cameras. And that's over and we're all still in the room. Any thoughts thus far?
Well, I don't remember if we talked about this, so I'm going to say it again if we did, so apologies. But I do feel like it was really stupid of Bailey to tell Christmas who her untouchable was. So they're having this conversation whenever it occurred, and she's like, oh, who's your untouchable? And Christmas goes, oh, you first, you know? And the whole reason that Christmas gave for putting the two of them up is because of that one thing. Now, I don't know if that was it, because I know there was some other stuff going around about, oh, they're targeting you, and, you know, Danny was throwing some stuff around and stuff like that. So I don't really know, but the excuse she was giving was, well, Bailey said Davon was her untouchable, and so she couldn't keep both of them in the house. Would you ever tell someone who your untouchable was?
No.
I sure wouldn't.
She could have gotten out of that by simply saying, oh, I want one of the women to win.
Yeah, or, oh, Christmas, it's you. I don't know. I mean, maybe that would have been, you know, too obvious. But I don't know. I'm not saying it made her. I'm not saying that.
Well, look at it this way. And Bailey didn't answer.
No, she did answer.
She says, no, she didn't. She says, you know who mine is, okay? Which makes the point that she didn't have to say it. Everybody already knew it.
And just that they're asking the question and having that conversation means that they understand that they aren't one another's ride or die. Therefore, they each have a ride or die. Let's talk about who that is, because we're not each other's. Do you know what I mean? It's not like Christmas could hear the answer and say, oh, I thought I was your ride or die, therefore I feel deceived, or, you know, like, that's not the case. So,
yeah,
there was no deception except for Christmas. Did Christmas never told her hers, though, did she?
No, she didn't.
No.
She did not. Christmas finessed that. I think Bailey was trusting, and I think it was kind of naive to be trusting in that situation, but I can see why she did that. I think it was a dumb thing to do, but I can see why she did it.
And I can see why it hurt when she got put up in a few minutes, you know? Mm-hmm.
That was my only comment. So,
all right. So now Bay is crying in the diary room right after this end, and Bay and Day are whispering together, and Day tries to, you know, encourage Bay, buck her up. It'll be all right. David comes in to hug her. David's running around shirtless again. That seems to be a common theme lately. And he goes into the diary room and he talks about, maybe I'll use my special power to, you know, remove one of the nominees. And but then he decides, nah, probably not. Then we go back into the rest of the house, and Christmas is crying because she's just so traumatized by what she just did, putting Day and Bay up on the block. And she hopes they understand that it's nothing personal. It's just game. I love that.
Sorry. I hate it. Why?
That sounded like me.
Why are you? I know. Why are you making yourself Christmas? Annoyed me so much this week because I don't know. I mean, she's either acting to try to deflect some of the ire off of her because she did this. And so she's hoping she can nominate people and then they not be mad at her, basically. Or she's just like way too emotional about the thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know which it is, but either one just annoyed me. And all week, she's got this chip on her shoulder and crying and stuff, like she's the victim. I mean, she's the one that's nominated these people, and like,
you would think she was Kevin with all that crying,
or Nicole, because that's something I could see Nicole doing, like Nicole putting some people on the block and then her crying because they're mad at her, you know. I mean, it's just not, I just don't see Christmas doing, I don't know. She's been more emotional this season, but maybe it's because she has a kid now and she misses her, you know, her kid or whatever. But, and it's fine to be emotional. I just feel like if you're going to put somebody on the block, why are you crying about, they're the ones that should be sad that week, not you. I mean, you're HOH.
To me, this is the Big Brother version of going on Survivor and not being able to swim. You know, if you go on Big Brother, you're going to have to put people on the block and, you know, you're going to get a little blood on your hands.
Mm-hmm. Count blood.
Okay, count just for fun. Counterpoint. Okay.
Okay.
What if, like, I mean, that's kind of all you've got is like you, if people are kind of mad at you, you sort of have, this is your moment to kind of be a victim and kind of, they're giving you something to play with. Maybe it's kind of clever of Christmas to sort of deflect instead of to accept, you know what I mean? Like,
I
don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
I could see that being a strategy, but I don't see how that goes very well because you're the HOH. I mean,
would that be your strategy, Adam?
No, I would probably just be like, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. There was no one else I could put up. Please forgive me. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but I wouldn't cry. I wouldn't nominate someone and then immediately after the key has been turned, start bawling. Like, I can't see myself doing that, but. I don't know. Maybe it was. It could have. It was. If it was a strategy, it was annoying to me. I don't mind people crying. It was just the situation in which she was crying. No, I don't care. Like, Kevin crying doesn't really bother me. He cries all the time. I don't really care.
There was a lot of crying on these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, so moving back, we left off with Christmas crying and Bay was pissed, and Christmas restates that once Bay told her that Day was her final two, then it was just no good. You know, that was it. Done. A little break there. Nicole and Danny go to Bay. Day tells
you were going to say go to bed. I'm going to say, well, I missed that part.
Go to Day.
Okay.
Wait, either... Yeah, Day with it. Yeah, my notes are bad. I'm sorry. They go to Day. Day tells Danny it was Tyler who told her that Danny wanted to get her. So Day shares that that piece was involved. Day says Christmas is something. I don't remember what. And Danny...
Coming. Coming.
Is that what's taking her so long to get here?
Yes. She's in a war with herself. In fact, I think Bailey and Day had a war on Christmas during this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Definitely. This is when we first hear the plan of Danny really wanting to backdoor Tyler. And then Nick is also there, and she goes along with it, even though she's not that into it. She'd just as soon not backdoor Tyler, but she's going to keep her mouth shut. Which, I mean, I've noticed that Nick seems to be flying under the radar so far. And doing a good job at that.
But that's always her game, right? I mean, she... So
what is she going to do? Win competitions?
Nicole makes it to the end by aligning with people who are stronger than her. And then not winning anything and playing victim the whole season, right? So, or anytime her name comes up. Oh, wait. I like crying. I can't make fun of her crying. Sorry.
By the way, did y'all think that Nicole looked like hell on these episodes?
Yes.
Well, at least the one I watched tonight, I thought she was crying. And Mark said, I think she just woke up or something.
I mean, I think she was just like, she looks like hell. So.
In the leotard, too.
Well, the colors were particularly unflattering for her coloring.
Well, that's...
Maybe it's not a great costume to wear and also do your hair and makeup. So maybe she's not giving it, you know what I mean, her all.
Yeah, okay.
She's wearing that thing.
I'll give you that one, Lawson.
There you go. Okay.
I made it up. It has to be true, right?
Okay. Well, you don't do your hair and makeup when you wear your costume around, do you?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. I generally don't either.
Okay.
I don't shave either.
Oh.
There you go. Danny goes to Christmas with the news about Day telling her that, oh yeah, by the way, it was Tyler that told me this stuff. So Danny took that dirt to Christmas to try to get Christmas to backdoor Tyler. But Christmas is in an F2 with Tyler, so she's not going to do that. But she is upset. And then we have a commercial break. Thoughts thus far?
Oops.
She summarized it perfectly.
I think so too.
Lots of drama.
Yeah.
Was that the first commercial break of three episodes?
No, I think it's the second one.
Okay.
Yeah. So then we come back from commercial and it's time to do the veto competition and we're going to pick players and it's going to be six people, the head of household, the two nominees, and then three random people where each individual puts their hand in the bag and draws another name. And Christmas picks Nicole to play. Day picks Danny, who laughs weirdly, and Bay picks Ian. And then Big Brother will inform them when the competition is to begin. And then we cut to a little bit of action with Ian. He doesn't want to play in the veto because he hasn't slept at all and he's having chest pains and he's been having these chest pains for 2 days and he doesn't feel good. And we hear him saying to someone that he has to see the medic. And so then Nicole and Danny are sitting there talking to one another and they say, oh my goodness, you and I are the worst. Actually, Nicole says, me and you are the worst picks ever. And Danny wants to kind of just give Day the veto. And Nick says something about engineering, energy ring, ENG. I don't know what Nick said. But then David comes in and announces.
I don't know what that is either.
Yeah. But then David announces the veto competition and he says, lace up. And as I recall, he's in a red shirt and it's very high school track team.
So Ian,
I like this competition.
Ian does not end up playing, right?
Correct. Right. Yes.
But they really didn't tell us. Did someone play in his place? Did they? Oh, I missed it.
No, nobody played in his place.
No one played in his place. Okay.
They said that he wasn't feeling well and the medic said that he should not participate in this.
Okay.
Only five people played. Yeah, okay. There should have been six, but only five because he didn't play.
I didn't count. So all I remembered was he said he didn't feel well and was going to the medic. And then we go to the veto competition, and I didn't count how many players there were, but I noticed Ian wasn't playing. Yes. So, okay. Nobody swapped out for him. They just had one less person playing. Okay.
Right. So David is hosting. Ian is not playing. And the deal is, it is like a high school track and field competition. They've got the lanes laid out. And the idea is that you get in the ready position, you know, down on the 1 foot in the, you know, on the 1 foot, in the crouching position to start running. But while you're down there, you're holding down buttons, one in each hand. They're large. And you watch a screen from this position. And on the screen, they flash simple arithmetic problems. And when the sum equals 13, not 12, not 15, 13, you release your hands and then you run. And the last player who runs to the other end is eliminated. And if you make a false start, you are eliminated. And then they have this whole sort of strange gift swap thing about the finish line. Shall I go on and describe that briefly, or shall we talk about that as it happens?
As it happens.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So we start the whole thing, and Bay and Christmas both have the very first time Day has a false start. Day false starts, she's immediately out. They all have a false start, but she was the first one, so she's the only one that's out. And then she goes off and you get to pick a prize and the prize are all of everything. So she picks the veto. And then, of course, the next person can steal it from her, which is exactly what will happen. Because Bay and Christmas both again false start for the next one. But because Bay false started first, she is the one who is out. Bay picked a prize, which was a, quote, food and fitness plan, which actually means that you have a gym and you are not going to be a have-not for the rest of the season. So basically, it's have-not immunity. So Bay takes the veto from Day and gives Day the have-not immunity. Now we have round number three. And this time, nobody false starts. Everybody does the math correctly, but Danny is the slowest. So she collects a prize, and her prize is Slopitard, which apparently means that you wear this, you know, ugly outfit all week, and it's actually a punishment. It's nothing good at all. So then we have the fourth round, Christmas and Nicole play. Christmas wins, Nicole is out. Christmas's prize is $5,000. Now, Christmas at that point does an odd thing. She decides that
Nicole.
What? Nicole.
It was Nicole, yeah.
Nicole. I'm sorry, I said the wrong thing. Nicole. Yes, looking at the wrong place on my notes. Sorry. Nicole is out. Nicole gets her prize of $5,000. Nicole decides that instead of keeping the $5,000, she's going to trade, which makes a lot of sense, right? We all assume she's going to trade it for the veto. She does not trade it for the veto. She trades it for Day's Slopitard prize. So she just gave Day $5,000 and took Day's punishment and hopes that that means that she can now work on some kind of alliance in the future with Day.
Now, do you think that was gameplay, or do you think, you know, like Day wanted to get the punishment, you know, that Christmas got with the stars and everything, they wanted to experience having a punishment. Do you think that was gameplay, or do you think she wanted to just have the punish the unitard thing?
I think that Nicole, I thought it was a really good move. Devon was really appeared to be in a bad mood and sad that she had gotten out and, you know, she's on the block. So I feel like Nicole, by giving her the money, which kind of brightens her day and, you know, gives her something, even if she's still going to be on the block, and didn't take the veto, because Nicole knew she wasn't going to be the one that ended up with the veto. It was going to be, she was out, and so whoever won was going to end up with the veto, you know. And so I think it was strategic to make Devon a little happier, so that should Devon stay, that maybe she would be happy with Nicole. So I thought it was pretty good strategy.
Moose?
I was going to say the very same thing, actually.
Yeah. So.
And it was nice, too, because, I mean, that's a lot of money and,
yeah,
you know.
Now, that may come back to bite Nicole in the butt since she's lost her job. But other than
right.
Why did she lose her job?
Well, she's lost a bunch of sponsors. Apparently, she's a influencer is mm-hmm. her job. And so she has several sponsorships. And apparently there was some talk that on the live feeds this week that she and Danny and Memphis and Christmas, I believe, were in a room making fun of Ian for his little for his tics that he has.
Oh.
And somebody put it on Twitter and made a big deal out of it and actually like at replied her, at least one of the companies that sponsors Nicole.
I think it's a company like Maybelline or something like that.
Or Oil of Olay or something like that.
Yeah, anyway. it's a well-known company.
And and they dropped her as a...
Well, no, they said something like, we no longer have a working agreement with this person.
Yeah, and then another one of her sponsors did the same thing, so...
Ouch.
Anyway, there you go. And she doesn't even know. I mean, the irony is she doesn't even know. She's in the house oblivious, you know? Anyway, I think it was good gameplay, so.
I thought it was good gameplay, but it was, you know, it was definitely different. It made great TV, that's for sure.
Mike, did you have an opinion about Nicole giving the $5,000 today and taking the slop-tard punishment?
Look, this is like a new era of reality TV. Everyone's kind of doing what they need to do for the edit. They know that people are going to perceive them a certain way. She's going to make $5,000 in appearances because she's, you know, recovering some of the goodwill of the people. It's worth the $5,000 to her. You know, give it away. What was the punishment she took? I don't even remember.
She has to wear the slop tard box.
Get more TV time.
Blue outfit. Mm-hmm.
That's worth $5,000.
Yeah.
National TV time.
Well, that's here we are trying to decide if it's gameplay, and it's purely selfish, according to Mike Lawson.
Well, even if it was gameplay, it would be selfish because you're trying to stay in the game. So either way, but it felt like, who knows, but she felt like she was happy to give some money to Devon as well. So, I mean,
and
you know.
All of these things could be true. She could be thinking, this is good for the game. This is good for my character. And God, I could also do this cool thing for this woman who's, you know, in a sad place right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think everybody understood that it was kind of a raw deal that the only reason Day was on the block was because Bay had said that she's her, you know, she's my F2. She's my ride or die. So
speaking of a woman in a sad place right now, did we mention that Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee, couldn't be bothered to be here tonight?
We did.
Okay. Yeah.
We did, yeah.
So Christmas has now won first place, and her prize is the triathlete, which I don't even remember what that is.
Something about a tricycle and 100 laps.
Oh, I didn't hear the tricycle part.
Well, they didn't. Right. They didn't focus on it.
No, they didn't.
And we haven't seen it.
No. Uh-uh. But of course, she trades it for the veto. So now Christmas has won the power of veto. And We switch off to people, and I believe this is mostly in the diary room. Day hopes to survive. She's going to do her damnedest to shake up the house. She still wants Tyler out, and we cut to commercial. We move on, and we have a lot of talking about various things. Christmas visits Ian to see how he's doing, and he said he was told just rest and food and hydrate, and he should be fine, and he brought the dragon puppet out and had the dragon puppet say what I thought was like, stuffy. And she said, everything's good, Ian. And Nicole got her slop-a-tard box.
And she looks like Swiss Miss, the Swiss Miss girl.
She totally does, yeah. Except it's orange and blue.
Yeah, on a box of slop. So.
Then we switch to the outside cameras and we hear Danny and Cody talking about how thin Tyler is and how thin Tyler is and how he isn't like himself. And Tyler himself says he doesn't feel right or like himself. And then we have David talking to Tyler, and David is and they're saying, oh no, Tyler's not having fun. And then Tyler talks to Angela, the girlfriend. He loves you. I'll probably see you soon. And, you know, we're getting all of this foreshadowing about how sad and unhappy Tyler is and how it just doesn't feel right. And it's everything's sad. So then Tyler goes to Day and Tyler says, you know, would you please get Bay? I want to talk to both of you. And, oh, you know, drama. So they get together and Tyler has this big old confessional where he feels like it was his fault that Day and Bay are on the block and he wants to air it out. And because he just has been feeling so guilty, and Bay's there curled up in the bed and he says he wants to apologize because he'd been struggling. I told you about Danny because I wanted you to turn on each other, but I feel like it isn't right. And so to make things right, he tells the two of them that he wants Christmas to use the veto and put him up on the block instead of one of them. And he goes on to say that they are standing for something greater than he is, and he wants to see that play out. He doesn't want to be idolized for being manipulative and a good liar. If he's going to be idolized, he wants it to be for something like this. He'll walk out, it'll be okay, and he'll be okay with it.
Pay attention to the edit, right? Like, he's worried about how people are going to perceive him. Uh-huh. And that's how he's going to win this game. It's not necessarily that he's going to be in first place. It's how are people going to perceive him outside of the house?
Uh-huh. So then he does go talk to Christmas. And he says that he wants to come clean, and he's the reason that Bay and Day are on the block because he planted the seeds and he wants to own it, apologize, and do what was right. And then, oh, surprise, surprise, Christmas says, no, that's not the reason. It's because of that other thing. And then Tyler says, no, I don't feel right, and it's a guilty conscience, and I need to get out of this situation. And Christmas makes him spell it out and says point blank, you want me to backdoor you? That destroys a lot of things, you know. Then she's basically, what the fuck? She is just, you know, what, you're my final two and you want me to backdoor you? What the hell?
I feel like I don't know, I can't decide whether, well, there's a lot of things I can't decide about this. But, you know, we're led to believe by the live feeds and some of the articles that came out last week that Tyler really was feeling bad and was missing Angela and wanted to go home. So if that's the case, then, you know, fine. I mean, he had a weak moment, and he decided, since he wanted to go home anyway, he would use that to also look good. Right. He's like, I miss Angela. I want to go home. And I'll get a good edit, as Mike said, you know, so that could be. But if it was gameplay, like, I don't think telling your number one alliance, he's in an alliance with everybody, but
he's
he's in a final two with everybody. But I don't think telling Christmas, who he's in at least two different alliances. Well, I mean, he's got a final two with her. He's in another alliance with her. I don't think going to her and saying, hey, I want you to backdoor me, I don't see that as good gameplay. So, because, I mean, she's going to think later, well, he's not either, he's not completely all in the game. He doesn't care. He just wants to go home. So I can't depend on him. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure.
The only person that wants to hear someone say, I want you to backdoor me is Mike Lawson hearing it from Enzo. You knew I was going to do that, didn't you?
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow. Uh-huh. Okay.
Mike, I'm curious if you had thoughts on that because...
Yeah, I do. I just don't know what they are exactly. Like, I don't feel that I trust Tyler's intentions completely. Like, I know this isn't an original thought. It's, you know, something I've heard people talking about on Twitter too. So others are feeling this, but like, it kind of feels maybe a little contrived. So I don't know. I don't think that he deserves tons of credit for this in my book.
No, but I'm just saying
it's, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, even if it is contrived, let's say it's strategy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's good strategy because I don't think telling your alliance member you want to go home is a good way. I mean, you're going to be less trustworthy going forward because they're going to question whether or not you're really in it, and they're going to align more with other people, I think.
I think that's giving Christmas a lot of credit.
Maybe.
You know, like, I just don't know that she's playing this game that way.
Well, I think, and I think I said this during the spoilers last week, I think he wanted to get out because this was the last person to get out before jury, and that way he could go home.
Yeah.
All right. I think we can move on.
All right. So we cut. Yeah, we leave on Christmas being all what the fuck. And we cut to Bay and Day together talking. And then Bay has a very savvy idea. Do you think this is a ploy to look good on TV? And he knows that she's really not going to do it. Fair question.
Could be.
Uh-huh. And so then we cut to Christmas and Day talking with none another. And Christmas says, I'm exhausted. I don't know what I want to do with it. And Day says, if you lose, if I go down, he goes up. Then we bring her in, meaning Bay. And then in the diary room, we hear Day saying, I got to make Christmas feel good and blame all of Bay's rage all on Tyler because I got to make Christmas feel good. And this backfires big time. Christmas in the diary room is hearing, I already didn't want Tyler on the block, but now I hear that Bay still has it in for Tyler. And, you know, she's all, you know, she really is pissed and he's ready to throw his game away. And Bay is still after him. I think I'll just keep the nominations the same. And Tyler and Christmas are together again. And Christmas says that Day told her, Bay wants your head on a silver platter, and ooh, that's between y'all, but it doesn't serve me because she takes things personally and doesn't let go. So basically, I'm not going to take you off the block. You know, I'm not going to send you home. I'm not going to put you up, take her off and take one of them off and put you up and let you go home. Forget about it.
Do you feel that was gameplay from Devon in order to stay in the house?
Oh, it would have been really good gameplay if it were, but I have trouble from knowing Devon, how she plays. I have trouble giving her credit for something quite as cunning as that.
Well, it sure did blow up Bailey's game.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah, go for it.
Moose, if it was gameplay, we will never know that. I feel like if she did that on purpose, she's not talking about it in the diary room because she wouldn't admit to that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to campaign against your friend, your ride or die, you can't kind of take, you can't even acknowledge it.
I did notice that she was awfully quick to pin it on her ride or die. Oh, yeah, I got to tell Chris. I got to tell Christmas this was all on Bay. I got to calm her down to save my own game. And I'm like, But, you know, it's game, right? Everything's game.
Yeah.
So Tyler feels better because he's thinking it's, you know, maybe it is just a one-way street. Maybe I do want to stay in the game. And Christmas says, well, it's my choice because I'm the head of household and I'm the veto holder. And then we break to commercial. And then we come back from commercial and Christmas is staring at the wall and she holds the veto ceremony and we find out that she is not going to use the power of veto.
Do you guys miss the big lazy Susan? Remember when they used to have the key and everyone had to take the key and then spin it and then the next person took a key? Like every single person had to say their name until there were two people left and that's how they figured out that they were nominated.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Yes, they pulled
Big
it
Fatty.
Out.
I pull out a key and it's Big Fatty, and then I spin it to Big Fatty, you are and then
safe,
he pulls
and then
the key.
I pull a key. You are safe.
I miss that.
You know what?
I mean, I could see the drama, but that would seems like it would take an awful lot of time.
It took
of the
an
episode.
Awful long.
I would imagine,
30 minutes of the episode there pulling keys.
Well, that's
but it
like.
Also, revealed a lot of cards in the edit too, because I keep saying the edit, who am I, but like it revealed a lot of cards in what the producers were kind of trying to manipulate story-wise, because you're like all these safe people and then it's like the last few that are suspenseful because we don't know where the house is thinking and which alliance is winning, so it kind of revealed some of the plot, and I think that's probably why they took it out.
Maybe
could be.
Speaking of revealing,
I think it just took too long.
Speaking of revealing the plot, right after Christmas announces her choice not to use the power of veto, we hear something interesting. Anybody want to take that? Bay says, "Oh, it was well." Will they bring it up again in the next episode? Can we share who you said your untouchable was?
Oh, right. Yeah. And Christmas says no.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So then Bay is in the diary room and she says, Tyler is a snake. Christmas is a sheep. Then Christmas is in the diary room and says, I've given up an entire summer to play with my baby boy. I'm not going to be anybody's scapegoat. Tyler is all, well, shoot, my olive branch is broken, you know, but Tyler and Day hug. And that's the end of that episode.
I don't want to belabor this, sorry. But I'll just make this one comment. He did seem awfully quick to change his mind. So it would kind of lend credibility to maybe it was gameplay. So I could go either way on that. Because I just feel like, you know, one minute he's like, I want to go home. I feel so bad. And the next minute he's like, oh, so Bailey didn't forgive me? Well, screw her. I'm going to stay. You know, I mean, he just seemed to like flip on a dime there, but
yeah. And now that we're rehashing this, I think that the fact that this was the last elimination before Jury House was a big thing. Missed Angela, you know, and thought that it's great TV. You know, he gets all of, you know, if he looks like a really good guy, if he looks terrific, he can leave, he can go home, he can be back to his regular life with Angela, and he still looks great on TV and he helps his team. But once he figured out that Christmas wasn't going to go along with that routine, he's like, oh yeah, he's back in it all the way. I think you're right. I think the timing of it is such that he could. It was real easy for him to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Shall we slide right into the next episode? And I will try to condense this quite a bit because we are running incredibly over.
Yeah.
Day and Bay are on the block. We already know this. Christmas in the day. We rehash a lot. Bay's still upset.
This is all the bathroom stuff, isn't it?
The only thing I remember about this episode, while you're looking at your notes there, Sam,
what Julie wore?
No, I don't even remember what she wore.
All right, wait a minute. Moose is now, ladies and gentlemen, the only segment of our show. It's the Moose P. Julie Chen Moonves fashion report.
I thought it looked like a gold checked tablecloth.
I did too.
I don't remember it at all.
It was really awful.
I hated the print. I agree. I wrote down odd gingham print. But it was cut so well. It was a really flattering cut for her. It fit really well. The print was horrible. I don't know why they picked that. I mean, I was thinking, is it because it was a good color for TV? But in any case, I thought it was a really flattering cut. And so there you go.
You know, this is nothing to do with outfit, but I was just thinking when I was watching Julie on the live episode, I'm so impressed by her always knowing where the camera is. And her walks
it's called
and
rehearsal.
Stuff. I know, but I mean, she like turns her head at exactly the right moment, follows the camera. She starts walking exactly the way that, I mean, it's like, and I know they have lights on the cameras and all that, but I mean, it's just like, boom, boom, boom. She hits her marks all the time. She may really need a cue card, but she always hits her mark. At least it appears to me. But anyway,
those heels and sideways.
But what I wanted to say is the only thing I really remember about this episode is
can't wait to hear this
all the fighting, and maybe that was most of the episode,
that
but
was
like
the
so
entire freaking episode,
so I mean basically Devon is in the bathroom with Christmas and they're having a conversation about and all that's and really the only thing that they're saying is Devon is saying exactly what I said, Christmas, you don't have a reason to be sad or upset with anybody. You put us up, like, so you can't. So Christmas is all like, "Woe's me! Bailey's treating me bad this week." You know, I'm gonna cry. And Devon's just like, "Girl, you put her up. Like, I mean, what? Like, why? Give her. She has the right to be upset. I mean, you put her on the block." And they just get in this screaming match, and then you know, and then we get Devon crying and saying that. They've gotten what they wanted now. They've gotten a blow up from Day, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then Bailey comes in and tries to calm it down and she gets in, they get in a big blow up, you know, with her. And then she pulls Devon out and then Christmas is in the kitchen, like talking to whoever's in the kitchen about how wrong they are and how right she is, basically.
Danny and Kevin.
And then, yeah. And then, you know, I'm like, Christmas, girl, just your HOH, like, leave it alone. And then, you know, they walk by and then Christmas has to egg it on some more, you know, and it's like, just your HOH, leave it alone. Like, you don't have to. And, you know, at that point, like, Bailey's having to, like, push Devon off into another room. And that was basically the whole episode. I mean, just we get to see, you know, Christmas, Bay and Day, all three kind of blow up. But it's not really going to hurt Christmas because she's the HOH. But
it's a bad look, though. I mean, she ended up not looking good at that, out of all of that, I don't think.
Truth.
I don't think she did herself any favors.
And was it Tyler and Cody who were outside and they were telling Devon, don't worry, we got you. We don't think that you're being unreasonable, yada, 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 you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, you've missed the most important part.
Oh, have I?
That whole sequence.
Okay.
And Sam's going to tell us about it right now.
Ian saying he just needs his towel?
Well, Ian walking in, and they're over there screaming at each other, and he doesn't look. He sees them and just continues to go and take his clothes off and take a shower. And you know, Kilroy over the top of the shower every once in a while, but you know, he's just, that's, I just thought it was a little weird. But I mean, obviously they weren't paying any attention to him.
Well, I'm not gonna say, so one, I'm not making fun of this at all is what I would like to say, but one thing about autistic people is they don't read social cues very well. So like,
okay,
he's not gonna walk in the room and necessarily read a social cue that, oh, maybe I shouldn't shower right now because there's something going on. Like, that's one of the, being on the spectrum, that's one of the symptoms, air quotes. I mean, not really symptoms, but I mean,
oh, I thought that was, go ahead.
Well, interestingly, in his first season, there was a moment with showers. Did we talk about it on this podcast?
Mm-mm.
there was a moment where
it's your other Big Brother podcast.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. After the there was like a competition where he came, everybody was like hot and sweaty. He didn't even compete, but he went straight for a shower, leaving all of the competitors out of shower. And like someone had to tell him, like explain to him that you know, this was a weird moment. So it's interesting that it's this kind of moment is in a shower again. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He likes to shower.
I thought it wasn't bad gameplay because if he just wandered right past, went on about his business, he could freaking hear everything and not be accountable for any of it.
Well, I mean, if you were probably in the HOH room, you might have been able to hear some of this. So it wasn't a private conversation exactly, right?
No, they were yelling pretty loud at one point. But
yeah, but still, I thought that not a bad place to hang out for a family fight.
I'm not sure it was gameplay, though. I think it was just Ian.
Yeah. But yeah, the entire episode up to the vote was just the big Christmas Day Bay blow up. Any other thoughts about that, or shall I just slide right into the vote?
I don't remember anything else. I say we just go to the vote.
All right. Day and Bay gave their little speeches, nothing particularly striking there. Then we go through the vote. Danny votes first. Sadly, she votes for Bay. Ian votes for Bay. Cody votes for Bay. Enzo, sadly, votes for Bay. Then we get a camera shot of David sitting in the other room crying. Tyler votes for Bay. And David votes for Bay, says, "Mommy, I love you. Happy birthday." Memphis votes for Bay. Nick votes for Bay. And Kevin sadly votes for Bay and offers condolences to Cody and his family from.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that part. Cody's grandfather died.
Yeah.
Oh, condolences from our podcast, Cody. Right.
This is really morbid to say, but these moments are kind of why I really like the show, because it reminds you that it is reality. I mean, a reality game show versus, just like the real world or like some documentary. I don't know. These are real people kind of like that have real lives. And like that 9/11 episode is iconic for that reason. I think it's very interesting to see the real world seep in. So I'm happy to see the moment because it like humanizes everything. I'm, sad that it happened though.
It doesn't happen often. It's just, it's not even every season, but right. I think there was one season, there were two or three that had family members die.
I remember Frankie was the last one that I can think of. Remember Frankie's grandpa died? Ariana Grande brother.
Yes.
Well, I tell you what, I will give Cody a bonus point as well.
Oh.
Oh.
So.
Good idea.
Yeah. Someone reach out.
Mike, could you handle that, please? Yeah.
No, let him know soon.
Reach out to Enzo and let him know he's gotten a bonus point.
Yell it over the fence.
Ah,
bonus point to Cody.
Will do.
All right. Do we have anything in particular we want to talk about Bailey's exit interview? All right. So we had a commercial break and then we find out that the first five people are sent home. So all of you have made it to jury. Huzzah.
And she did say that there will be no battle back this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the jury thing.
Yeah.
We knew that, but they didn't. So it was more an announcement for them because we knew they've been sending everyone home. Or right. We thought so anyway.
And we start the endurance HOH competition. And we don't finish it until the last episode we're going to talk. Does anybody remember Julie's blurb?
No, but I know y'all are going to make fun of it.
I remember Julie's blurb. I believe she looked right in the camera and said, "Can someone hand me my towel?" Sorry.
There you go. So
it's something about kindness.
Let kindness be the rule for everything you say.
I mean, is she talking to the president? Is that the consent? Like, is everyone thinking that that's what she's doing, or is it just where I go?
I was wasn't sure why she decided that she needed to, you know, give us all a little moral, but it's okay. I mean, well, I just assumed it was her new artistic expression, or else the show decided she needed to do that. So
I'm not going to mention the fortune cookie again.
I don't know who she's talking to, but I just read it as she's just talking to society in general, because I think we have a lot of meanness going on right now. So,
yeah.
And the one that we remember from the previous set of shows was also around kindness.
Yeah, a lot of them have been. You know, maybe. I think most of them have mentioned kindness, and the ones that haven't have been like, do unto others, you know, which is also kind of about being kind.
Yeah.
By the way, may I just say that tomorrow, the 15th of September, is National Thank You Day.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for telling us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for thanking me.
I would like to thank Samantha for going on to the next episode. Or for continuing on.
Now, the biggest part of this episode was the long endurance competition, which is called Power Trip. And it's a billboard. It's the wall hang is what it is. And we've seen this, even I, who have only seen two or three seasons, have seen a wall hang competition. They have little rock climbing handholds on either side of them. And they're standing on a little ledge with the billboard behind them. And they're holding onto the rocks, and everything's okay for most of the time. And then periodically they tilt the wall forward so that you have to hold on really tight or you'll fall forward onto the mats. And then periodically they spray cold water on you so that you're going to be all slippery and cold and wet and miserable. And then they do both at the same time. And they keep that up for a while. And
now, before you get into the results of this, did y'all notice, and I think Big Brother does an excellent job with staging all of this stuff, because they always make the surrounding area fit in with the theme. It's like the yard part of all of this away from the wall looked like the top of a building, because it had the vents on it and things like that. I just think, you know, that's just stuff that they don't have to do and most people probably don't notice, but I just think that's just a super nice touch.
Extra. It's like a scene at Disneyland. Like, artists are involved in this. It's not just, you know, plastic that you can install, but you have to install and make it look nice.
And thought went into it.
Yeah.
It's very theatrical.
I'm sure they'd all appreciate a thank you tomorrow.
Well,
for doing
thank
that.
You for suggesting that.
Yes.
You're welcome.
So we're all on the wall, and everybody starts off at the Thursday night episode, and then we carry on into Sunday, and a big chunk of the Sunday night episode is this endurance contest. And the biggest thing is that day falls really early, like 5 minutes into it or something, some ridiculously early time. And of course, she faked it. She cries, and she is the first have-not, because the first three who fall off the wall this week are the three have-nots for the week.
Well, now, this was interesting, because she's talking in the diary room about, you know, for some reason, I feel like she said for some reason she really didn't want to win. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, and I think she fell on purpose. And then they cut to her in the diary room and she's crying. And I thought she was really crying. And I was like, wait a minute. Didn't she just say she didn't want to win HOH? And then all of a sudden she smiled and she had pulled it. She had like fooled me, because I thought she was really crying. I was like, Mark, didn't she just say she didn't want to? And why is she crying? And then all of a sudden she smiled. So I was like, wow, you know, she's pretty good at faking a cry. So she was.
It's just the edit.
Maybe. But anyway, she was saying that she knows when to turn on the tears and make people think that she wanted to win, but she really didn't want to, basically.
She could be auditioning for a new TV show.
Maybe.
Oh.
Could be. So the competition continues, and at the 48-minute mark.
Anyway, go ahead.
Oh.
Sorry. I thought she was auditioning for Mornings with Memphis.
He actually has an interesting twist as well. At the 48-minute mark, David falls. He's the second have-nots, and he flat-out says that's the toughest competition he's ever done.
Well, he's never done one.
Well, yeah. So there you go. 53-minute mark, Ian falls, and Memphis confirms that was the third person. Okay, boom, I'm done. He just basically wanted to hang on long enough to not be a have-not. Now, I don't know whether he has been a have-not yet or not. I haven't been paying attention to that, but that was his break point. And then at the 1 hour and 2 minute mark, Enzo falls. He wants Cody or Tyler to win. At an hour 7, Kevin falls and says, oh my gosh, it's another week of just trying to survive because I absolutely don't trust anyone and I feel real bad for the guy. And then we get it down to Cody, Nicole, Danny, and Tyler. And of course, then we have a commercial break. Commercial break is back in. Danny wants to outlast Tyler. At the 1 hour, 16-minute mark, Tyler falls and does a very nice front flip off the board. Danny's unhappy. She's actually very happy that he fell, and she was planning to fall right after him. But she decides at the last minute, per the diary room, that she doesn't want to do that immediately. And then at 1:22, Nicole falls because she decides she just doesn't really want to win at all. And Cody is right behind her, and boom. Now Danny's the HOH, and we break for commercial again.
All right. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you knew that Tennessee was Danny's child's name?
Well, I assumed it when she said it. I
didn't know it, and she's standing there going, Tennessee, 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 Tennessee. I'm going, what in the hell is wrong with her?
Yeah, at that point, I knew she was talking about her child.
Okay.
I only knew from reading the app, the blogger, the blog about the live feeds. Okay. I didn't know that was her kid before that. And if I had seen the episode without knowing that, it would have been weird as hell.
I agree.
Well, apparently nobody wanted to win this one because, at least none of the one, because Cody didn't want to win because he's like, I don't want any blood on my hands or something like that. And Nicole and Danny are both in really good places. And then Nicole's like, oh, I don't want to win, you know, and because Nicole totally threw it. So the reason Danny won is because Cody and Nicole both threw it because they didn't want to win. Tyler, now maybe he wanted to win. I think he legitimately fell, and Enzo might have wanted to win, but a lot of the people threw the comp. The weaker players fell legitimately, but I mean, the stronger players, none of them wanted to win, it seems. So, I don't know.
I agree.
Now, the rest of the episode up to and leading into the nom ceremony is all of the infighting and the talking and the what we should do. And, you know, who wants to take over and give some color commentary about all of that? I've got a lot of notes, but we don't have to go very, very in depth with it.
I think I can summarize it, unless Moose, do you want to summarize it?
No, I wrote very few notes here because I didn't find it all that interesting.
Okay, Mike would like to summarize it.
I don't want to summarize it, but there was one part of the
Mike
conversation.
Mike would not like to summarize it.
There's one part of the conversation that I wanted to pull out for us to talk about. At least, I mean, there's four gay men on this call right now, so it'd be interesting to kind of at least bat around a little. When Kevin talked about representing the community, that was in this kind of part of the episode, right?
Yes.
And I found it very enlightening, maybe. Like, I wouldn't say he educated me necessarily, but like it was nice to hear him sort of worry about his ability to represent a very diverse community and how that was a burden for him to carry. And I had never really thought about that burden and how, you know, a lot of times it's like, well, you signed up for this, like you're going to get the criticism you're going to get. And I feel very good and comfortable with criticism that I give of people who go on shows like this. But it was interesting to kind of just hear kind of him humanize, you know, the journey of a a person that goes on one of these kind of shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to.
It's not something you never really think about.
I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. But we've even had people on this very show criticize how Kevin behaves. And you know what? I don't know who said it, but I know it's been tossed around several times. I'm not gonna call anyone out.
Has a lot of opinions about it, which I mean, it'd be cool to talk to him about it. I'm sure, you know, we'll get the chance to do that.
But the one thing I got it from it is, you know, I do feel like the gay community tends to be very judgmental of each other. And how, you know, how people act and stuff. So even from that perspective, I think, you know, they'll be the ones who are really butch and think that he acts too, you know, effeminate. And then they'll be, I don't know. I just feel like that is a real thing. But then you also get it from the other side where you get people who are not gay and maybe don't understand, you know, and think that is just the way gay guys are. Like they think that is a gay guy, and he's also talking about, you know, is me being the way that I am promoting this stereotype that people who don't know as many gay folk already think, you know, or whatever. So I think it was very interesting. I agree, and I think it could be from both sides. I think it could be from the straight community and what they think and what they feel is true about a gay person, and then also how gay people can be judgmental of each other, you know. Yeah. So thank you.
In that respect, Casey, who won two seasons ago, she was gay, but I don't think she really had that.
I don't. You know what? I don't feel that, like
it came up at the end when she got to be like F3, or you know, when she had moved forward, it came up a time or two that she was glad that she could do it for the community. But it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't edited in this early into the show, the roundtable discussion.
But I feel like and there's less judgment when it's a female.
And, you know, they always, David especially is saying there's never been a person of color win Big Brother. But I mean, was Casey not a person of color?
Yeah, she is. She's not black, but she's.
And did he? Are those his words, "person of color"? Or
well,
They may have specifically said African American or black.
He may.
Okay.
I'm not saying because I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
well, I maybe I'm speaking out of my well anyway.
Well, either you are, or he is, but.
Well, probably me.
Okay, review the tape. I don't have it in front of me. Sorry. All right. Anyway. I can summarize what happened, though. So there was a lot of back and forth. Everybody was going to Danny and saying that she should put up Kevin and David. Everybody. Well, other than Kevin and David. Now, all of her alliance members were saying that. Now, I was a little bit surprised that she was so open and honest with both Nicole and Cody about wanting to backdoor Tyler. Because I feel like later in the game, he's in your alliance. I feel like that's going to be a problem next week when you're not HOH, and they're like...
She's running the HOA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know that I would be that open and honest, you know, with my alliance members to say, hey, guys, I think I want to backdoor a member of our alliance. You know, I don't know. Anyway, that was one thing that I took away from that. But then Day was just trying to really ram in the Tyler needs to be backdoored, you know, thing. And, you know, look at how he threw you under the bus last week or whatever. So Day was really trying to stir that pot still. And then Tyler is now, you know, all like really wanting to stay in the game. So he's like, you know, I totally would understand it if you backdoored me or whatever, because I'm so deserving. But I'll take you all the way to Final Four if you keep me. You know,
well, he basically, it was the same conversation he had with Christmas the week before.
Yeah, except I don't think he already had a deal with Christmas, but what he said to Danny is, she's like, well, would you agree not to come after each other until the committee, until we're to the final six, where committee is in final six or whatever, or the commission or whoever they are. Anyway, and he's like, I'll sweeten it. I'll make it an even better deal for you. I'll take you all the way to four. So he's, you know, trying to.
Well, and not really a spoiler, but he, since then, he's made a final two with Danny.
Okay.
So, which, whatever.
That wouldn't be bad. Anyway, so that's basically, I feel like, what happened. I mean, basically, everyone went to Danny, gave their little pitch.
Now,
you know.
why did nobody think of Ian? Because earlier, I feel bad about Kevin and Ian because they aren't allied with anybody. But it was Kevin and David that was all the talk about. Why didn't anybody even put Ian's name out there?
That's true. I was going to say that, and I forgot. I don't know what's up with Ian and people not wanting to nominate him, because his name is rarely thrown out.
And Enzo.
And yet everyone sees him as a strong player because he's already won. And I know he has some sort of weird final two with Nicole. I don't know if it's a final two, but I know he has some kind of thing with Nicole. But it's never brought up. And I don't know. I mean, I just think, why are they not? He's not winning competition. Maybe they're just not. Maybe they're like, he's not winning any comps. We can get rid of him later. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I was thinking the same thing.
Well, Ian and Nicole know the secret handshake because they've both won.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So we go to the nomination ceremony, and Kevin looks absolutely awful, that poor man. And Kevin and David get nominated. It's exactly as everybody said. She does the thing that is safe. She doesn't shake up the house. She says, you know, we just didn't really talk game as much as I did with other people, and I'm genuinely sorry. And that's that. Kevin, we close the show on a real downer, I think. I mean, David's happy. He's got the disruptor power. But Kevin is looking really sad, and he feels really alone and disposable. And, you know,
Danny did talk to Kevin about putting him up as a pawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, at least Kevin thinks he's a pawn.
Well, I don't think people really want Kevin to go home. I think they probably, I think should David not have that disruptor power, that he probably would be the one that everyone would vote out. They would just use the whole rookie excuse, because I think they all like Kevin and they would feel bad sending him home. So I don't think she was lying when she told that to Kevin, but I think he may end up being an innocent bystander David has his power.
David had never did tell anybody that he's got the disruptor power, right. So nobody knows.
Right. By the way, Mittens in the chat room says Casey is half Filipino. She is that is a person of color, but it still depends on whether he was talking about African American specifically,
okay,
or BIPOC, I think is what they say. So, but yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I'm interested to know who.
Well, let me say one thing about Danny.
Okay,
she's been running her mouth to other folks about it. We need to do. Somebody needs to make a big move. Got to make a big move. Got to make a big. And she made the polar opposite of a big move. I mean, we can't hear you, Mike.
We can't hear you, Mike.
She did say at one point, if you're going to take a swing, you better make sure you hit him, right? And so maybe she's, you know, just being a little cautious. I mean, at this point, maybe she could still backdoor him. That's an option.
Well, now if she's got a final two with him, then maybe it's going to go the other direction. Maybe they'll be like, oh, everybody thinks we hate each other. Now we're going to.
I'm thinking Vito will be really key this week.
Well, I don't know.
Stick around for spoilers.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I guess we'll learn. But
one other piece of this that's a technical bit. David's power, when he was talking about it, it's the disruptor, and he can insist that the head of household take someone off the block and put a different person up. But it sounded like he had to do that before, not after, the veto comp. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, or whether I completely misunderstood, but that was my takeaway.
That's probably true. Because if somebody else is going to go on the block, they should be able to compete in the veto.
Yeah, I don't know. They certainly haven't spelled it out for us, but I don't know. All right. So we do have a contest. Do we want to go ahead and do that?
Well, yeah. before you do that, just a reminder to everyone, especially here in the room, that the Wednesday night episode is on Tuesday this week because of the Country Music Awards. But the Thursday Night Live episode is the regular time. But the following Thursday is going to be NFL football, so I'm not sure what they'll do then. So be aware there'll be some.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. Hopefully, I have gotten this correct.
Oh, here we go.
And I should.
Is there space for names?
There is. I shouldn't even say that because no one is.
By the way,
wiser.
Thanks for cutting all that out of the episode.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Last week,
I can cut what you just said out as well.
How dare you?
I can keep cutting everything out.
How dare you?
He has that power.
I do.
Yeah.
So
but
you
it
guys,
it's a pain in the ass for him.
You guys are gonna click on the link in the chat room, it's not the chat room, in the Zoom chat. And then I'm going to go ahead and read what the questions are. And again, we'll base it on speed as well as correctness. So the two questions, we only have two questions. And the first one is, what was the time difference in minutes between the first and second person out in the HOH wall endurance competition? The second one is, how many minutes did Day make it? So the first person out was Day, and the second person out was, I forget now, but I have it in my notes.
David.
And so let's see, how many of you are there? There are four of you. So I've got all the answers. So the time difference between Davon and David was 36 minutes. So you all went, Fatty was way under, but yeah. Sam came the closest. So Sam said 43 minutes. Sam is the closest, so Sam gets a point for that one. How many minutes did Day make it? Let me sort by timestamp here so I can, because two people gave the same answer.
Oh.
Let me sort by timestamp. Okay. So,
you couldn't just look at the two timestamps?
No. What if I get it wrong? I mean, the sheer pressure, Fatty.
Okay.
So, Sam got closest to the time difference. She gets a point for that. For the second question, both Fatty and Mike said 12 minutes, but Mike was the first one to answer. So Mike gets a bonus point.
What is the correct answer? Is it 12?
It's 12. 12 is the correct answer. So both you and Fatty got it right, but you were first. So So both of you get a bonus point that will be added to your score. So Fatty, I believe
I'm telling Enzo you don't like him anymore.
I believe Fatty has two bonus points now, and Archer has one, and Mike has one, and Sam has one. So
Wait a minute. Didn't Archer get a bonus one because his mother died?
That was a joke.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
He's not really kidding. Now he'll argue it. He'll
He will show up here next Monday night with a black veil on.
Well, if you all want me to give him a bonus point, I mean, it was just kind of a ha ha har har kind of thing. But if everybody wants me to give him a bonus point, I mean, I can just award him the win for the entire competition.
It was a har 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 what?
I don't remember. All right. Okay. Well, thanks everyone for being here tonight. We're going to go ahead and say, Sam, where can you be reached if anyone wants to find you?
You can find me at Sam in the H on Twitter.
All right. And Moose P, where can you be found?
Moose P on Twitter.
All right. And Mike Lawson, where can you be found?
Usually around 3 o'clock, there's a bodega on 12th and Peralta. I like to stop in and get a Diet Coke.
All right.
There.
Okay.
Ah.
Fatty, where can you be found?
I am not going to be at a bodega around 3 o'clock, but I will be saying thank you a lot to me and looking for my job.
All right. Well, I like to do this for Fatty. Fatty can be found at bigfattyonline.com. I can be found at geekygay.com. We can be found at buttfirstpodcast.com. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ plus friendly podcasts over at pride48.com. From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam Burns Moonves. Let's listen in on the All-Stars. All right. Spoilers.
Could you hear us while we were talking, while you were talking?
No, I mute you.
Oh, okay.
I know.
All right,
Fatty,
ready?
Anytime I don't want to hear your voice on a recording, the only option is to mute you, because otherwise you're going to be there.
All right. So David and Kevin have been nominated. David does use his power, takes himself off the block, and Tyler is nominated.
Interesting.
Power veto is won by Davon.
Oh.
And there's lots of teeth gnashing and hand wringing over whether to use it or not. And she does use it on Kevin.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gosh. So
and
that only leaves Ian.
The replacement Ian nominee is Ian.
Ah!
Oh no! Ian's gonna go home.
Like, yeah, it looks like that's probably the case. There's even in the feeds, like it looks like I don't know. Like, does Davon think Tyler's even like has her back? Even I don't know. It's a little weird, but it feels like Ian's probably going home.
So
wow,
jury house.
Gosh. Wow.
The app kept saying that this has been the most exciting week so far as gameplay goes.
Makes sense.
That's pretty boring.
Well,
season.
I feel bad because I like Ian, and I feel like that was just a. But they're not going to send Tyler home. And look,
but no, there's also a conversation. After Ian is nominated, there's a conversation between Tyler and Ian where they both say, oh, the worst thing in the world is being the first person in jury. And so, okay, well, guess what? One of the two is going to be that.
Well,
now, that may have happened before Ian went on the block. I think it did happen before Ian went on the block. So, anyway.
Well, on the other hand, though, having Ian be the first jury member is going to make for an interesting jury because, you know, he will have been observing everything from that point forward or whatever they let the jury know. And that'll be good TV.
Maybe.
He would be a good person to be in that role because as everybody comes to the house, then they will be exposed to whatever he has already thought out and strategized.
Now, you know, when they show the DVD or whatever of the previous week or whatever, and they each one files into the jury house.
The VCR tape.
The VCR tape. Do you think they'll have to play that from the shower to make, you know, Ian feel comfortable or?
Yes. Now, there was also discussion on Tyler's part with somebody, I don't remember who it was, of just leaving the jury house and giving up their stipend and everything and just saying to hell with it.
Huh.
I'm not. I mean, I'm just not believing any of this Tyler talk anymore. I don't know.
Well, until he's on Mornings with Memphis, I wouldn't believe it either.
You know,
so
we'll see.
Moose,
well,
did you have any spoilers?
No, I just I did look in the app and I saw the that Davon won. You know, that's about it.
Okay, Mike, did you hear anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Those are good spoilers, though.
They
yeah,
are.
It's going to be a good couple of episodes.
I think so too.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out other great podcasts at pride48.com/shows.